Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray that this podcast will help you on that journey.
All right. Well, I want to share, this is week three here on Reaching the Lost. That's what we've been focusing on. Eric did a great job last week sharing about that, and we want to continue. By the way, Eric was healed of MS also, similar to the story there. Thank you, God, for that. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So let's read Acts. I'm going to start with this. Acts chapter 5, verse 17. It says, but the high priest rose up. Well, let me say this first. After the Pentecost, the apostles were emboldened. They had courage. And they start going out and praying for people. And signs and wonders are taking place. And the leaders, the religious leaders of the day, get jealous. So here, this is what's happening here. They're doing all kinds of signs and wonders. And it says, but the high priest rose up along with all the associates, that is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy, which is the very reason why they killed Jesus as well. They were jealous of the attention Jesus was getting. They laid hands on the apostles, put them in public jail, but during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison and taking them out, Peter and says the apostles, I don't know if it was all 11 and Peter or however many, but the angel says to them, go stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life. Upon hearing this, they entered into the temple about daybreak and began to teach. I love the way that that is written and what the angel said to these guys who are already praying for people. They're already, people are getting healed. Lives are being changed. They get thrown in prison. And the angel comes, opens the doors to the prison, and says, here's what I want you guys to do. Go back to the temple and share the message, the whole message of this life. You know, another way to say that would be to share the gospel. Share the whole message of this life. Story is powerful. Whether it's in video form or it comes from our lips, from our hearts, from inside of us, story and the story of Jesus is so powerful. It has the ability to change lives. It's what the angel instructed them to keep doing. Yes, keep praying for people, but I want you to share the whole message of this life. Talk about Jesus. Talk about what he's done, what he's done for you. That's what the angel shares with him. So, you know, we have here an amazing church of people. I just want to brag on you for a second. When people ask me, I say this often, they ask me about Awake Church. They've never been here before. I said, and here's what I usually say. We have an amazing fellowship of people. We really do. You guys are incredible. Not only from the, we have around 120 to 150 volunteers out of this church that make everything work with all the kids ministry and the ushers and everything that goes on here. But we have people here like Kimberly and others who are serving, giving, helping, getting their gifts out there. We have prison minister, people who minister to prisoners. People are going on the streets. People are praying for people driving by. A lot of things outside of here and so many activities here within this body of people loving each other, giving to one another, giving meals to one another, helping each other. You guys are remarkable. And I just want to brag on you. Thank you for being an amazing group of people. In the book of Corinthians, you find Paul writing to the Corinthians, this church that was the wild church. They're the ones who are moving in the gifts. They're the ones moving in the gifts. And Paul writes to them and encourages them even more. They're already doing it. They're already doing the stuff. And he says, I want you to earnestly desire the greater gifts. Keep moving in them. Keep stepping out in these gifts. Keep allowing the Holy Spirit to use you to prophesy life, encouragement, joy, to move in the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, in tongues, in miracles, in healing, in faith, all of these things. He says, keep going for it. And I feel a little bit like that today, talking to you guys, because you're already doing this amazing thing all over the place. But I want to stir us up all the more to do the things that you're already doing, and let's continue to see, look for opportunities for God to use us. Because inside of you, you're carrying something that is powerful. It is powerful. You're first carrying the Holy Spirit. You're carrying God. And you're carrying a message of this life. This life from the dead. This life that's brand new. Jesus has given you a message to carry. And we are to carry his story. History, his story. The story of Jesus. This is what Jesus did when he talked about himself when he was disguised. Remember on the road to Emmaus? He'd been risen from the dead. He'd just risen from the dead. And he joins two people who have already been following him for several years on a journey to Emmaus, 7-mile journey. And what does he do? He tells the message of this life about himself through the scriptures to two guys. This is what Philip did when he joined the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch, and he got up there and he went through the scriptures telling the story of Jesus all the way through. This is what Stephen did when he stood before the Sanhedrin. As he shared, it's incredible, you read it, it's like a whole chapter, and he's just sharing the story from the beginning all the way through to Jesus. And of course, the religious leaders get angry. They kill him. They stone him to death because of that story, because of that message. But many really continue to come to Jesus because of those sharings, those whole message of this life stories that kept coming out. We all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life, right? We would not perish, but have eternal life. That is part of the story that is given to us to share. Jesus so desires and gifts us and equips us and puts inside of us this message to share with others, not just to receive for ourselves. I talked about a couple of weeks ago about Galilee having all kinds of streams of water, beautiful fresh water flowing in, and then it's got a fresh water flowing out, but then it goes to the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea just has one stream coming in and no outlet, and it's a place of death. It's a place of accumulated salt, and we are to be those that have outlets, that we are sharing, have great stuff coming in, all the things God's doing for us, but we are to speak and to share and to demonstrate and to live our lives in a way that we shine, that we shine. I met this older man just recently. He doesn't go to our church. He's 87, and he's just so full of Jesus. And he was just telling me the story. He says, I was up here at Mama Zoe's restaurant the other day, he was telling me. And when I got done eating, I saw there was a booth. There was a couple of men, an older man and a younger guy, and I just went up there, and I just started smiling at them and telling them how handsome they were. When you're 87, you can say whatever you want to, things like that. It's no problem. And he said, then I went on to the register, and the younger man followed me. He came to me with tears in his eyes. It was a father and son. And this was the son that came up to him, and he said, that was so kind. That was so kind. And starts talking to him, asking questions. He ends up sharing the gospel with these guys, praying for them, all out of kindness, just stepping out. He just stepped over to their table and started saying something kind, started saying something loving. People are ready to hear the message of this life. People are ready to be loved. People want to know about love. They want to hear about what is real, not fake. There's fake everywhere. But they want to know the real. They want to need to know that God loves them and all that he's done for us. All that he's done for us. And we are at an amazing point in history right now. All of us. I was thinking about this, you know, however many thousands of years ago, somewhere around 6,000, according to genealogy that we have in the scriptures, God created two people. So that was the population of the earth, two. And then fast forward to the time of Jesus, let's say 4,000 years later. Jesus is on the earth. It's estimated that around that time, at the year zero, that there were 200 million people on the planet. So it grew from 2 to 200 million. But it took 4,000 years to get to 200 million. And then by 1930, there are 2 billion on the planet. That's with a lot of wars and a lot of death, a lot of disease and destruction, but yet population has grown significantly, 2 billion people on the planet by 1930. And then now, 8.1 billion people on the planet. It's doubled since I was born. I was born in the 60s. Population has doubled since then. 8.1 billion people. There are 140 million births every year. 60 million deaths. 383,000 births a day. There's a lot of people coming into the world right now. A lot of people living right now. And just ahead of the return of Jesus, we've been given an incredible sliver of time to be alive. God chose you and I to be alive at this time that's unlike any other time in the history of the world. And he's given to us through great effort. Think of your salvation story. Whatever happened to get you saved, through great effort, you have been saved. Of him drawing you to him. And you've been saved, set free, filled with the Spirit, and given the message of this life to share with someone else. A torch, you've been given a lit torch to light someone else on fire in a good way. Not a bad way, but a great way. To give them life, to pass along this life that we have been given. It is a part of our purpose on this planet is to share and to speak, even if you don't have the calling to be a full-time minister or the calling of an evangelist. Even if we don't have those two callings, we do have the calling to share the message of this life, to speak and to tell people about Jesus. My wife grew up in church. She grew up in Catholic church. And for 21 years, she never heard the gospel one time. And then she got invited by a friend to another church when she was in college, heard the gospel message, and she was like, oh my goodness. Really? I mean, she knew Jesus had been on a cross. She'd heard his name many times, but not the message of this life. So when she heard the gospel, her heart just swung wide open. And she got saved. Thank you, Jesus, for leading my wife to Jesus. But it was some people who actually, at the church that she went to, she didn't hear the gospel at the church, but there was a sign-up card, if you would like to know more, kind of like what we do back here. And she said, yes. And so she didn't know that they were going to come to her dorm. They didn't send her an email. They didn't have email then. They went and knocked on her door of her dorm. A man and a woman. And she was shocked to see them. Didn't know who they were. They said they were from the church. And she said, you wanted to hear more? Can we come in? She said, okay. And they shared the gospel right then. She gave her life to the Lord in her own dorm room with these two strangers that were carrying the message of this life. People can hear about Jesus or know that he was on a cross and not know the gospel. We can actually, a lot of times, people get, you know, kind of inoculated by a little bit of Jesus but not know exactly or get the power of him and what he's done or give our lives to him. Can kind of just have mental assent, understanding that there was this guy named Jesus, and I use him as a swear word, you know, those type of things, but not know what he's done for us, not know what he's done for them. We have been given this. Along with this opportunity, if we throw that slide up, you guys have probably all heard of this, or most of you anyway, but this is what's called the 1040 window. It's called the 1040 window. This is where most of the unreached people in the world live. The gospel has spread all over the world, but in this region, most of the people don't know the Lord. At the same time, right now, there are around 10 million conversions to Jesus every year worldwide. And those numbers vary widely. No one really knows. A lot of them are in countries like Iran, where we are going into right now. Every week, well, I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but we take these messages and we edit them down and we translate them into Farsi, where the guy is up there speaking. It's me speaking, but it's his voice, this other guy's voice, in Farsi. And they get going to four different times a week throughout the week to potentially millions of people. And millions are coming to the Lord in Iran. Millions are coming to the Lord in Iran. Thank you, Jesus. One of the ways they're doing it, that God is doing it, is not through necessarily broadcast, though that's part of it, is that angels are showing up in people's bedrooms. Jesus is showing up in people's homes and in dreams and giving them the message of this life, sharing the gospel with them, with this Muslim population. And they are coming to Jesus by the millions. Right now, it's the fastest growing place where the gospel is growing the fastest in the world is Iran. And it's illegal to be a Christian missionary there. God is doing it apart from people at times. But he wants to use us. He wants to use us here. Wherever we are, you are a undercover ambassador of heaven. Wherever we are, whether it's at the grocery store, or the restaurant, or the gas station, or a workplace, wherever we are the ambassadors of heaven. John 4:35, Jesus said, "Do you not say there are 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest." Jesus is saying, I am wanting you to look a different way. I want you to see from heaven's perspective when you look out at people and recognize they are ready to be harvested. People are ready to come to Jesus. And then another scripture, he says, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the harvest. Lord, send us, send laborers into the harvest and those beyond us to reap what you paid for, to gain what you paid for, the ones that you love. I love this woman I met. She said, everyone is a pre-Christian. If they don't know the Lord, they're just a pre-Christian. Because the Lord wants to reap them. He wants to save them, to introduce himself to them. And we're not given an exact formula. I love that God does this, actually. Though in our natural mind, it would seem very much easier if he just gave us a formula. Just give you a formula. You just repeat this. You can teach your computer to repeat it, and all that would work. You wouldn't have to pray. You just have this said. He doesn't do that. He wants to use living beings who aren't going to do things perfectly with an imperfect delivery, but God will use that imperfect and change the world. That's what he does, is he uses us. He uses these fallible creatures that he fills and uses to get his message out. And there's no perfect way to say it. Yet, when we open our mouth and we share with another person, the Holy Spirit can take those words and do something in the heart of someone that you don't even know is going on. In fact, it might be the exact opposite of what you think is going on. One of the guys who's had the most impact in my life, I worked for him for 14 years. His testimony was that he grew up knowing the Lord, walked away from the Lord, and lived a life of, you know, smoking pot and just partying and worldly living. And he went to, I think it was Myrtle Beach, with a bunch of guys. They rented a house. They're on the beach. They're goofing around, drinking beer. And this guy walks up to them, a complete stranger, walks up to them in their circle of guys standing around. He's a bold guy. And he says, "Hey, guys, I just wanted to share Jesus with you." And he shares the gospel with these group of guys. Well, my friend who's standing there, who already knows the gospel, has walked away from the Lord, living a double life, really, or not even a double life. He just left. And he hears this young guy speaking, knowing he could have said this better. But the Holy Spirit is saying to him, huge conviction. And you should be the one who's in this guy's shoes sharing the gospel, because you know, you've known me. And he feels this overwhelming conviction in his life, doesn't have any expression on his face, doesn't say anything. When the guy got done speaking to them, basically sharing the message of this life, and got no feedback that was positive from this group of guys. Turned around and left, and probably turned around thinking, that was a failure, I messed that up. What he didn't know was in my friend, God was working overtime right there, all through his whole heart. And here's what he did. He went up to his room, packed up his stuff. He had brought all those guys there and left them there, left them at the beach, drove back to Charlotte, repented on the way, gave his life to Jesus all over again, and it followed him and has been a minister and a lover of God since then. But this guy who shared has no idea. He has no idea, and probably thought he was a failure. You guys probably remember the story of Mordecai Ham. You know who that was? Evangelist, preacher, long time ago. He was preaching in the service in Charlotte, North Carolina. And as he preaches, he gives an invitation for people to receive the Lord. Only one guy raises his hand. One person, he's thinking, man, am I not doing this right or well? He leads this one guy to the Lord, goes away thinking, feeling a failure. Well, that guy was Billy Graham that met Jesus that day. It wasn't a failure if it would have been anybody else either. But it happened to be Billy Graham who met the Lord that night and then goes on to lead millions probably to the Lord. Beyond that, we have no idea when what we share, when the message of this life comes out of us, what the Holy Spirit can do with that message in the hearts of people. That's not our job, is to make it land well. It's not our job to cause a result. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is to share the message of this life, to get it out, to talk about Jesus, to ask people. And this is a great way to do it. We learned this from Steve Witt, to just go up to people and say, are you a follower of Jesus? Ask a question. Are you a follower of Jesus? You can get one of two answers, most likely. Yes or no. If it's yes, you can ask them another question, like, well, where do you go to church? Or how long have you known Jesus? If it's no, you can say, how come? Why not? Have you heard about him? It could be an entrance to a conversation right there that can go who knows where. God can take that anywhere. But he has put inside of us, we are carriers of the message of this life. We're carriers of the good news, the good, glad, merry news that causes someone to leap for joy, which is what good news means, gospel means. The Bible says, beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Oh, it's so wonderful. Beautiful are the feet who are those who bring good news. When we bring the good news of Jesus to people, no matter where they are or who they are, it's a beautiful thing. So, you know, if I were to share in this moment, every time I share the gospel, it's going to be a little bit different. Every time you share the gospel, it's going to be a little bit different. But you can share it and be okay with it not being perfect. You can say something along the lines of, God started with two people. made them perfect, loved them, walked with them, but they chose darkness and another path in the devil. And they began to sin, and sin multiplied through the generations. And the only way that sin can get atoned for or covered is through the blood of a living creature. And all they had to give then was animals. And so they would sacrifice animals, and the blood would cover their sin for that moment. But it was so imperfect. And sin continued to multiply and multiply, and God had a choice. He could have wiped out everybody on the planet, start over, thought, this has been a mess. Let me do this all over again. Or he could do something really difficult, knowing that there was a way to pay for sin of all mankind one time, but it would cost him everything, his own son. And he and his son said yes. And he sent Jesus as a seed in the womb of a woman, intermingling God and humankind together. And that intermingling by the Spirit of God birthed a baby named Jesus. He grew up perfectly, never sinned, and laid down his life. He wasn't as killed as much as he gave his own life, so that inside of him, this blood that was perfect was the antidote to sin for all of mankind, all the way back in the past and all the way into the future. And he died, and through his wounds, that blood came out. And all who believe in him and what he's done are cleansed of their sin. Get to live forever with Jesus. So that's one way to share the gospel. So many different ones. How about we do this before we leave today? Can we stand up again? So here's the thing. Sometimes we can feel so inadequate with what we have to share that we never say anything. And sometimes it's good to practice. You ever, before you go to an interview for a job, you stand there in the mirror, talking, answering imaginary questions, practicing. I think it's okay to practice. And this is a safe place. So how about we do this? What if the message of this life gets shared 500 times right now, just in this room? How about we find, can you go and stand next to someone maybe that you don't know or don't know very well? And let's just stand next to them. And what we're going to do is just share the gospel back and forth to each other for 2 minutes. So go ahead, if you don't mind, standing next to someone that you don't know very well. Then we're going to do this together.